We've been studying about Christ. We've looked at His pre-existence. We've looked at the prophecies about Him. And we want to turn our attention to His life here on earth. And we want to start this morning with His childhood, in essence. When Jesus was a teen, now we're going to get a little bit of background of when He was younger than that, but then we're going to get into His teenage years. And you'd be surprised how little and yet how much we can learn about Jesus' teenage years. You know, we don't often think about Jesus being a child. We talked about with His birth that everybody likes thinking about that little baby in the manger. But then we just kind of skip from that little baby in the manger to the guy who's teaching everybody and feeding everybody with the Sermon on the Mount and the feeding of the 5,000. And we kind of skip those 30 years in between. But there were 30 years of His life that are covered in just a few short verses of Luke chapter 2. And we're going to look at those just a little bit this morning. And while I will be directing some things directly to our young people, I do think that all of us can learn some things from Jesus when He was a young person. We often think, well, you know, I'm older and more experienced and wiser than these young people. They need to listen to me and learn from me, right? But Jesus was an extraordinary young person, but we can learn a lot about Him. As we begin thinking about Jesus' young life, we could say Jesus the early years, perhaps. We want to begin with Jesus' temple visit as a baby. He visited the temple when He was just a little fellow. When He was a brand new infant, at 8 days, of course, all Jewish males were circumcised, and so He went through that. And then after a mother had given birth, at the end of 30 days if it was a boy, or 60 days if it was a girl, according to the law, at the end of that time, they had to go and offer a sacrifice. And we learn a lot about Jesus and His family from just those little events that took place there. So this would have been when Jesus was about a month old, and He goes to the temple with His parents. They bring Him to the temple, and two elderly people meet Him there. One is named Simeon, who had been promised by God that he would not die until he got to see the Messiah. And so he sees Jesus and realizes this is the promised one. And he talks a good bit about Jesus and about the expectation that he has had all his life looking forward to getting to meet the Messiah, the Christ. And then he says, you know, now my life's complete. I can die in peace now. I have seen the Lord's anointed one. And we see that in Luke chapter 2, verses 21 and following. And then there was a woman referred to as a prophetess. Her name was Anna. And Anna was the daughter of a man from the tribe of Asher, and she was a very unusual young lady. Elderly lady at this time, but as a young lady, she had married, and she had been married for 7 years, and then her husband died. And so as a young woman, a young widow, instead of remarrying, she went to the temple and devoted the rest of her life to God in the temple. And by the time Jesus and His parents come to meet her, she's 84 years old. She has been in that temple for, who knows, some 50 to 60 years. She's been there serving God in the temple and never remarried from the time she was widowed as a young woman. And she spent her time worshiping and praying and fasting there in the temple. A godly woman. And she was blessed to be able to see Jesus as well. And she spoke about Him as well and talked about what He was going to do when He grew up. The other thing that we notice as we look at this is we learn something about the economic status of Jesus' family. Jesus' mother Mary and his stepfather or adopted father Joseph were poor. They were not wealthy. And one of the ways that we know that is right here in Luke chapter 2. When they come, they are coming to do the purification. Now, according to the laws in Exodus and Leviticus, the time of purification when a woman, after the first month of a male child's life, had to bring an offering. The offering was supposed to be a lamb. But the law understood that not everybody could afford a lamb. And so, if you couldn't afford a lamb, the law gave an alternative. If you were too poor to bring the lamb for this offering, then you could bring two pigeons, two turtle doves. And as we look at Luke chapter 2, and we read about Jesus' parents. Verse 24 tells us they came to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Jesus' parents brought the pigeons. They couldn't afford the lamb. That tells us a little bit about Jesus' childhood then. He was not going to grow up in a palace. He wasn't going to grow up in a mansion. He wasn't even going to grow up in a nice middle-class neighborhood. Jesus was going to grow up in a shack, in a small, unpretentious little house. Nothing fancy for him. No silk sheets, no name-brand clothing. His parents shopped at the used stores, all those kind of things. You know, and we exaggerate a little bit, obviously. They didn't have a Goodwill back then, but if there had been, Mary and Joseph would have been there shopping. Well, in fact, they probably wouldn't have even done that. They would have gotten the cloth from the discount rack at Joann's or at Walmart, and she sewed his own clothes for him. So he didn't have any labels on his clothes. He grew up that way. And, you know, as young people, and I want to address you young people, I didn't grow up with everything. Well, none of us, unless you're Bill Gates' kid, you didn't grow up with everything. No matter how poor or how wealthy you grow up, there's always still somebody who's got more and that's going to have something you don't have, and you can live your whole life being envious of them and wishing you could have what they had, or you can appreciate the things that you have. You see, that's a choice that you have to make. You can appreciate what you've got, or you can whine and moan and complain about all the things you don't have. And all of us in this world, there are more things we don't have than there are that we do have. If we want to sit around and moan and gripe about it, we can. But it won't accomplish anything, and it'll just make us miserable for our whole lives. So it's a good lesson to learn now, young people. If you want to be happy, be content with what you have. Jesus learned that at a very early age. He had to be content with what he had. As a boy, Jesus grew, and there in Luke chapter 2, in verses 39 and 40, tells us after they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. That's all it says about the next 12 years of his life, the next 11 years and 11 months of his life. All it says is he grew, he waxed strong in spirit, and of course, I would assume his body was growing in that time too. He was growing up. He went through those childhood years in a despised town of Nazareth. But he probably didn't even notice it that much, because as a child, a lot of times, especially a young child, we don't notice those things. We don't notice that we're poor. My dad grew up in a poor household, and my grandfather was a sharecropper. And he said, you know, I was poor, but I didn't know it until I got grown. He said, as a child, you know, we played with sticks and rocks, and we just had a good time with them. We didn't know that we didn't have all those toys that the rich kids had. We just didn't know it. Didn't know how much they were missing out on. And that can be a good thing. But all of us will miss out on some things, and we have the choice of how we're going to live with it. As a boy, Jesus, growing up as a child, had to learn some of the things that all children have to learn. He had to go through the things that all children have to learn. We don't think about that sometimes. We don't think about God having to learn how to walk and learn how to talk. We're going through this with our little ones right now. He had to be potty trained. We don't think about it. That's the Lord you're talking about. Yes, but he was a boy. He grew up just like every other child has to grow up. There was nothing miraculous about his childhood. Certainly his birth was miraculous, but as a child, he grew in the normal way. He faced all the dangers of childhood illness. He, no doubt, learning to walk, stumbled and tumbled many times, just like other little children do. Knocked his head on things, scraped his knee, those kinds of things. He did all of those things just like any other child. Sometimes when we think about Jesus, and we think about Jesus was perfect, and sometimes when we think about Jesus being perfect, we think that means everything in his life was perfect. Well, we've already seen he was poor. His life wasn't perfect. He lived in a town full of people who were despised by others. His life wasn't perfect. He had all of the problems that a child would have. His perfection was in his sinlessness. You see, just because he was perfect doesn't mean he could have thrown a perfect game in a Major League Baseball game if he lived here today. That's not what perfect means. Just because he was perfect doesn't mean he could win a marathon if he was running one. That's not what perfect means when we're talking about our Lord. The perfectness of our Lord was not a, a physical perfection in his physical abilities and being able to do all these things that other people couldn't do. His perfection was the sinlessness of it. And that was part of what he was growing into. And we want to notice that at the age of 12, Jesus visits the temple again. Now, the indication here is that his parents had the habit, the custom of keeping the law. They were religious folks. They did what the law commanded. They were obedient to it. They were faithful. Well, of course they were. Why would God have chosen for the man and woman who were going to raise his son to be anything other than some of the most faithful Jews of his day? Of course, that's what he was looking for. Now, certainly, he was looking for the lineage. He had to be the son of David, and he was that on both sides. Both Joseph and Mary were descended from David, so he got the lineage there. But among those that were descended from David, don't you know there were probably some scoundrels who weren't doing what God wanted them to do? Well, God didn't send his son into those homes. He sent his son into a faithful home where he would be raised by godly parents who would teach him the importance of love and faith and justice and mercy. That's the kind of parents he wanted his son to have. And so he did. And so when he visits the temple in Luke chapter 2, verses 40 through 52, really, 41, says his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. Now, I want you to think about that for just a minute. Remember, his parents were poor. You ever taken a trip? We just went on a trip this past week. We didn't go anywhere exotic, but it was expensive. You know, you're eating out all the time because you're not at home to cook meals, so you got to buy that expensive restaurant food. You're traveling, so you're using expenses on the way. Then you got to stay somewhere when you get there. Because, you know, you don't have a house there, so you've got to pay for a hotel or something of that sort. It's expensive to travel. And it's really expensive for poor family to travel. And Jesus' family was a poor family. Now realize, too, by the time Jesus is 12 years old, I don't know how many of his other brothers and sisters were born by this time. Jesus was the oldest. I know my son's 13, and he's got four little sisters. So I don't know how many little siblings Jesus had. We know that eventually he has at least six, at least four brothers and two sisters, maybe more sisters than that. But we know about those six for sure. The Bible tells us the names of his four brothers, and then mentions that he had sisters also. And so that's at least two sisters. Now, how many of those were born by the time he was 12? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But probably some of them. And so the family's traveling with the other folks from their town, and they're traveling with their children, and they're going to Jerusalem, and they get there to keep the feast. And they went every year. Now, sometimes we don't think about some of the things in the law of Moses that everyone was required to do to be faithful to the law. They were expensive things. They were hard things for people sometimes to do. Joseph was a carpenter. He ran his own business, apparently. You know how hard it is to leave your business and not be making any money while you take a trip? Now, the Passover lasted a week long. It would have taken him some time to get there and some time to get back. So for more than a week, he's going to be not getting any income and spending extra money. That's tough. It's going to be hard for him. He would have had to have saved up all through the year to be able to afford to take this trip with his family. But that's how much he loved God. That's how much he and his wife Mary were devoted to doing what God said, was that they sacrificed things all through the year to be able to afford to go worship God at the Passover every year like they were supposed to. And they did that. And don't you think that had an impact on Jesus growing up in that household? Seeing, to my parents, it's more important to go worship God than it is for me to have something nicer at home. Or for them to have something nicer at home. Or for them to have a vacation. They may have had to give up the idea of taking any time off from work because, well, I got to take my time off when I go for the Passover and take that trip to Jerusalem for a week. Jesus' parents, when they took him to Jerusalem, now, at the time of the Passover, the city of Jerusalem would swell. That, you know, the population, because all of the faithful Jews were supposed to come. Now, not all Jews did go, I'm sure. There were many who were backsliders that didn't go. But all of them were supposed to be there. And so can you imagine a city that normally maybe was 50,000 people to even 100,000, but during this time it would swell because all of the people would be coming. And so you've got these huge crowds of people. And somewhere along the line, 12-year-old Jesus gets separated from his parents. You ever lost a child, even for a moment? And you look around and you don't know where they are and the panic that sets in? Now see, by the time Jesus was 12, it was expected and still is to this day. We hear the term bar mitzvah sometimes. This is the coming of age celebration when a boy turns 12 in the Jewish faith. As a Jew, when you're 12 years old, you're responsible for your own soul. Your parents aren't responsible for you anymore. So here's Jesus, 12 years old, in the city of Jerusalem with all these thousands of extra people there, and he's responsible as a man. Now, he's not a man, we understand that. But spiritually speaking, the Jews consider a boy that turns 12 to be a man in a spiritual sense, not in a physical sense, obviously. He's considered at that time a son of the law. And things were much similar in Jesus' day. But you know what's interesting? As we see this, Jesus is separated from his parents. As a young boy verging on the teenage years at the age of 12. And here he is, away from his parents. And yet he acted righteously even when they weren't around. What about you young people? How do you behave yourself when nobody's looking? When your parents aren't around? How do you behave yourself then? Let's look at some of the things that happened then with Jesus as we continue beyond that single experience. Of course, here he is. He's in the temple. He was left by himself in a big city that offered all kinds of things could have been going on in that city. And what did he do? He went to church. He was an unusual young person, wasn't he? Unusual 12-year-old. He went to church. Now, I know, it was the temple. We didn't have the church yet. But that's what he did. He went to the place where people were teaching and learning and worshiping God. Parents, would you like your children to be like that? Grandparents, would you like your grandchildren to be like that? To want to go to the place where God is being learned about, where God is being worshipped. That's what Jesus did. Jesus was a very special young person, no doubt about it. But remember, up to this point in his life, in fact, tonight in our study on John, we'll get to John chapter 2 and learn about Jesus' first miracle. It's going to be nearly 20 years yet before he performs any miracles. At this point, nothing miraculous has happened in his life. He has not performed a miracle. He does not yet have some miraculous ability of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's different from John. John the Immerser was filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb. And from birth, he had the Holy Spirit. But Jesus does not receive the Holy Spirit until his baptism when he's 30 years old. So here we are. He's a boy. And in some ways, he's just a normal 12-year-old boy. But in some ways, he is an extraordinary young man. But now let's look. We've got just a few minutes left to look at his teenage years now. As a teenager, Jesus increased in wisdom, the King James says. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. What does that mean? Well, it means Jesus grew intellectually and emotionally. Wisdom is not just knowledge, it's not just intellect, but it's the emotional coupling and the emotional maturity that goes along with that intellect. That's what wisdom is. You take knowledge plus emotional maturity and put that together and you get wisdom. Have you ever met somebody who knows everything, but they have no common sense? You can have all kinds of knowledge, but not have any wisdom. But Jesus grew in wisdom. He got smarter, yes. I realize at age 12, he's in there asking questions of these teachers of the law, and they're asking him questions back, and he's answering them, and everybody's astonished at him at age 12. And then he grows from there. Now realize, he didn't have miraculous knowledge at this point. He doesn't get that until the Spirit comes on him when he's 30 and he's baptized. Well, how does a 12-year-old know how to answer all those things? Well, I'll tell you what, Jesus didn't spend a lot of time playing video games. He wasn't on Minecraft, he wasn't on Facebook, he wasn't doing any of those things. But he did go to the synagogue quite often for Sabbath school, if you want to call it that. You know, they had a school for young people in the synagogues to teach them about the law of God. And Jesus no doubt did some of that. He was around Mary and Joseph and learned from them, no doubt. Learning how to work and a good work ethic as well from Joseph as a carpenter. Jesus grew intellectually, but he didn't know it all, even during these years, certainly. And like a lot of teenagers may think they know it all, but they still got a lot to learn. Jesus didn't know it all, and he knew that he still had a lot to learn. Now think about Jesus as a teenager. Think about him in the classroom. Would he be the class clown, do you think? Now Jesus did enjoy a good bit of humor. He did, and all of us hopefully can enjoy a good joke every now and again. But can you see Jesus being a disruptive influence in that class? Young people, if you want to be like Jesus, you can't be the one that's causing the problems at home or in the classroom or later on the job. Can you imagine him being too lazy to get his work done? Can't imagine Jesus being that kind of person, can you? Oh yeah, I want to sit up and play this game and not get my work done. No, Jesus would have been the kind to get his work done. He would have been diligent. He learned obedience, the Bible tells us. You see, obedience is not something that just comes naturally. We do have to learn obedience. And again, with his perfection, that doesn't mean, you know, if the teacher gave out a test, doesn't mean Jesus got 100% on every test. But he studied hard and worked hard to do his best on whatever the task at hand was. Because that's the kind of person he was. He was the kind of person who at the end of his life could say, "It is finished." He never said, "I quit." That's the kind of young person he was as well. He followed through on things. And Jesus, of course, was interested in Bible study. Here he was at 12. He went to study the Bible. Had all the free time in the world, separated from his parents, and that's what he chose to do with it. You know, that's a far cry from where we are in our society today, where 27% of people in the United States own more than 5 Bibles. But the vast majority of them don't even read one. Don't study one. Jesus understood. When he was in the temple, when they found him, and he said, "Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" And he wasn't talking about carpentry and Joseph when he said that. He was talking about his heavenly Father and the business of saving the souls that he came to save. He already understood that when he was 12 years old. That the Word of God, the Scriptures, were the map that would guide people to heaven. And that he was a big part of that. And he needed to understand what those Scriptures taught. And he studied those things. Realize, Jesus was on his own for 3 days. He was there. The day that they left him, they traveled and then realized he wasn't with them and then had to travel back to go find him. So for 3 days, this young man was on his own in that city. Now, I don't know, where does a 12-year-old sleep? I don't think they had the YMCA. Where did he sleep? Where did he eat? For 3 days, I guess, you know, I don't. Maybe people just fed him. And I know my son, while we were gone this week, some friends, one of his friends found him, and his friend said, "Oh, let's go." And his mom called me and said, "Xander's up here in our room with us. Is that all right? We'll feed him." She said, I feed strange young children when they're when they show up. You know, I just feed them. Well, maybe that's what happened with Jesus. Maybe some friendly folks just fed him and gave him a little place to sleep. Hopefully it wasn't too cold during that time of the year. But you think about, how did he, as a 12-year-old, survive in a city for 3 days on his own? But he did it. And he spent his time in the temple studying about God. But then we notice that as a teenager, Jesus increased in stature, King James says. Again, from Luke 2:52. Well, this means Jesus grew physically, just like you and I did. He grew in a physical way. Now, most of us adults, we're done growing up anyway. Some of us are still growing out, but we're done growing up at the least. But the young people, they're still growing. And Jesus had to grow. You know, he didn't just instantly go from being that little baby in the manger to being a grown man ready to teach everybody everything. He had to grow physically. Can you remember back to being in those awkward years where your body was growing and changing? Where your feet were a different size from one day to the next and you were stumbling over them and clumsy? Can you remember that? Or maybe you never went through that like I did. But I bet you probably remember some times when physically something, you know, guys, your voice was changing and kind of crackly and squeaky sometimes. And girls are starting to deal with the changes of life that make it very awkward and uncomfortable to be around boys. And all of these things happen in those teenage years. Sometimes even now, before those teenage years, those changes start to happen with young people. And they have to deal with those things. And Jesus had to deal with those things too. Don't you think that somewhere in his city there was a cute girl that he felt a little attraction to, and he had to deal with that and not be sinful? Don't you think that happened? Sure. He grew physically. He had his clumsy moments. He had his times when he wasn't strong enough to do something. Because he's just a scraggly boy. And he wasn't as strong as a man. And he couldn't, you know, maybe Joseph said, hey, go pick up that log over there and bring it over here. And he got over there and he couldn't pick it up. And he had trouble even rolling it over there because it was a big log and it was heavy. And we don't know all the details, but we know that Jesus had to deal with growing up and all the things that come along with it. But you know, as we think about him increasing and growing in his physical body, he took care of his body. He didn't abuse it. Jesus wouldn't have damaged his body. He understood that that body was going to serve a purpose. Remember, Jesus, when he was hung on the cross, one of the prophecies was that not a bone of him should be broken. So Jesus didn't do a bunch of dangerous things trying to tear his body up when he was a young person. That's one thing I've done that Jesus never did, is break a bone. You know, a lot of us can say that. He never broke a bone. He had to be that lamb without blemish when he was offered on the cross. That doesn't mean he never had any incidents or accidents or things like that. But he never broke a bone. It never left a lasting scar of that kind. And yet here he was. He knew that his body belonged to God. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Don't you know your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now Jesus, obviously, he didn't have the miraculous abilities of the Spirit yet, but he understood that his body and his soul belonged to God, and he had to keep them pure for that purpose. 93% of boys and 87% of girls in high school have used drugs or alcohol. That's a lot. Jesus wouldn't have been one of those in that crowd as a boy. Wouldn't have been involved in abusing drugs and alcohol. Did you know that tobacco is 10 times as addictive as alcohol? How many young people start smoking and they never could quit? Can't stop. So addictive. 500,000 deaths each year from smoking. And Jesus was taking care of his body. What about sexual immorality? You know, that's rampant in our society today and has been for a couple of generations, really, since the 60s. And it just seems like it keeps getting worse and worse. There are 1 million teen pregnancies each year. But you know, Jesus, in studying the Scriptures, would have studied about Joseph and how to flee from temptation and not to give in to temptation. And he kept himself pure because he knew he was going to have a bride, a very special bride, the church. And he had to keep himself pure for that bride. And he did that. 79% of young people, when they were asked why they were engaged in sexual activity outside of marriage, when they were asked, 79% said, "I did it to fit in and be cool." Jesus didn't think fitting in and being cool was so important as fitting in with God and being right with Him. Young people, there are going to be challenges that you face, and probably this generation of young people coming up is going to face temptations the likes of which the older generations can't imagine, especially in this area of sexuality. Be strong. Look to Jesus as your example. Look at Joseph. Look at the other people in the Bible who did what was right despite the pressures around them in society. Don't give in to that. Lust is a selfish thing, but love is patient and sacrificing. God's watching and He knows. And He has defined that sexual activity only belongs in marriage, nowhere else. He's made that clear. And we need to understand that. Keep your mind pure. Avoid dangerous situations and know when to run. Remember the rewards balanced with the costs. Those temporary pleasures lead to destruction and pain and suffering. But we can have a better life if we'll follow God and do what He said. Sometimes people are only thinking of the pleasure of the moment and they don't think about the resulting problems of depression, even suicide, that result from sexual immorality and other immorality that goes on with young people. The guilt, the shame, the fear, and the difficulties that you will have one day in your marriage as a result of it. Many are divorced in later years because of things that happened to them before they got married, because they came into marriage with false expectations and it caused problems. But it's not too late. You can turn your life around and get right with God if you have stepped over His bounds regarding sexuality. You can be cleansed by the blood of Jesus and be pure again in His eyes. Then we want to notice that as a teenager, Jesus increased in favor with God. He grew spiritually. We're about out of time. I've got to move fast. He grew spiritually. He pleased God by being obedient in more and more challenging ways, all the way up to the point of death on the cross. He learned that obedience in a spiritual sense. And He offers salvation free to all. But we need never think that salvation is cheap. He paid the ultimate price for our salvation. It was not cheap. Not at all. Jesus said on one occasion in the book of John, "My Father loves me, for I always do what He commands me. I always do those things that please Him." And Jesus indeed did do that. Spiritually, He continued to grow to tackle tougher and tougher challenges along the way. And then as a teenager, Jesus increased in favor with man. Now there were certainly some people who hated Jesus. Everybody's going to make some enemies in life. Everybody's going to have some people that don't like them. But Jesus grew socially. He was not one of these that was antisocial. He did grow in that way. He learned how to deal with people. Now some people, he learned, just couldn't be dealt with. But he learned how to get along. He worked on being likable and friendly, as Proverbs 18:24 says, if a man will have friends, he must show himself to be friendly. And he worked on that. And now I want us to understand one more thing about him. Jesus was not the most popular kid because he was this great-looking hunk of a guy. In fact, the Bible tells us that as far as his physical appearance goes, Jesus was not attractive to other people. In fact, Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 2 says, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. You know, it's amazing. And Jesus, when he's an adult, the little children want to come to him. Well, they didn't want to come to him because he was just the greatest looking guy in the world. He wouldn't have been on the cover of GQ. That's not to say he was monstrous in appearance, but he was just an average guy. He was not the most beautiful, the most attractive, the tallest, the strongest. That wasn't Jesus. There is no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. There was nothing about his physical form that drew people to flock after him like they do some of the actors and actresses we have today. So when people were following after Jesus, it was some other reason. It wasn't just because he was good looking. It was because there was something more about him that attracted people to him. He was humble. He wasn't arrogant. He didn't think of himself as too good to dine with the despised. He himself had been despised all his life from the city of Nazareth. But he also didn't think he was unworthy to dine with the elite. He went and dined with some of the Pharisees whenever he was invited to go do that. And he didn't feel like he was out of place there. Went to a wedding feast. He didn't feel out of place there. He was unselfish and he had a positive attitude. He gained favor with his family and friends. And the common people, the Bible says, heard him gladly. When he worked for people, when he was doing a job, he gave his all. And that's something people appreciate. He gained favor with those who were willing to learn about God, those who followed God. And of course, we saw already he gained favor with God himself. I know a lot of you got a lot of good things in there for the teenagers or the young people, but think about it ourselves. You know, I know physically we're all grown up, us adults. But are you still growing like Jesus? I know in stature maybe we won't still grow. But are you still taking care of your physical body? Sometimes maybe we're not as well as we should. I know it's easy to get off track and eat things we shouldn't and not get enough sleep and, you know, push this body harder than it should go and things sometimes. But are you growing spiritually, intellectually, and emotionally? Are you growing in your social area of life? Which area is your weakest? Intellectual, emotional, physical, spiritual, social? Which one's the weak area that you need to work on? That you say, you know, I haven't grown as much in that area as I could. And over here I'm really strong, but over here I'm kind of weak. I need to work on that one. And see, this is for all of us, not just the young people. What can you do to grow in that area? If you haven't grown spiritually, you need to study more. You need to get into God's Word deeper. If you're not taking care of your body, you need to make some plans to take care of that. If you're having trouble intellectually, now some of that, you know, we are limited to some degree by what our physical bodies can handle, but we can still study and learn things. Are you struggling socially? Are you kind of, you know, no friends and no social interaction with other people? You're a recluse. You need to work on that too. I know some of us are extroverts and some are introverts, but we have to work on those areas to try to reach out and expand beyond our ordinary boundaries to grow. You see, many of you I know are involved with either animal husbandry or gardening of some kind, farm. When it comes to animals and plants and human beings as well, if you're not growing, you're dying and decaying. We've got to keep growing. We'll grow all the way to the end of our life. Now, Paul talks about the fact, yes, this outward man may be decaying daily, but inwardly I'm being renewed every day. And how can you help young people grow like Jesus? Are there some young people in your life that you can be a better example to than you have been? Are there some young people in your life that you need to sit down and talk to and encourage them to live a godly life? Maybe they don't have a lot of good influences in their life, and they need some. You see, Jesus was fortunate to have a mother and an adoptive father who took him to church and took him to do religious things and taught him a good work ethic and all of these other things. Not every child has that. And maybe we need to step in and help out. Help be that good example. Help teach those young people some of those things. Are you continuing to grow? Or have you just said, well, I grew enough and I'm okay now? If you're not continuing to grow, why not? What are you waiting for? If you're not a Christian, you can become one today and begin that growth process in Christ by believing that Jesus is the Son of God, by being buried with Him in baptism to wash away your sins after repenting of those sins and confessing Him as the Christ. And you can start a new life and grow all over again. If you're here and you have been a Christian for perhaps many years, but you've stopped growing like Jesus, you need to get back on track and start growing like Him again. If you're here and you have a need to respond for any reason, please do so as we stand and as we sing.